Indeed Sponsored Jobs gets you quality candidates when you need them most. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed Sponsored Jobs.
I'm John Batchelor, Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow, Foundation for Defense of Democracy, my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to have a report from Lebanon, thanks to David Daoud of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy, watching the explosion of contact between the IDF, the IAF, and the Hezbollah army. The Hezbollah army, as you will all recall, entered into a ceasefire at some point as the wind down of the Gaza war developed into second and third and fourth week. Since then, however, the IDF has maintained close watch of southern Lebanon. This is below the Litani River. That is no longer the case. The IDF and the IAF are striking the Hezbollah wherever they believe there are concentrations of troops, arsenals being displayed for firing into Israel, or leadership. David has been following this story very carefully. And the question of the Hezbollah war is a version of what we can believe the U.S. plan was in Iran. It has not worked in the same direction, but then again, is the Hezbollah war successful? Nasrallah, the charismatic leader of Hezbollah, was decapitated along with his leadership early in the conflict. And since then, Hezbollah has been strangely uncoordinated. But, David, a very good evening to you. I stop with the but because I am lost as to the IDF's planning dealing with south of Litani and then in Beirut. Good day to you, David.
Good day, John. Look, I think, you know, Lebanon is just as with Gaza, as with any instance where you're trying to uproot a whole organization, you have a dilemma in that you can't obviously allow this organization to continue to grow, to metastasize, because there is no coming to a permanent modus vivendi with these groups. They will continue to build up their strength and prepare for the day to strike. So you must ensure that that day never comes. At the same time, eliminating these groups is much harder than a mere military campaign. Even if you have massive resources, to look at the United States in Iraq, for example, right? Israel's resources are dwarfed by those of the United States. The IDF lacks the manpower to invade and hold the areas of Lebanon necessary for the duration necessary. And you're talking about a massive invasion that would include not just the coastal axis all the way up to Beirut, like 1982, or even the central axis, but one that would necessitate Israel going up to the Bekaa Valley and to Baalbek and Hirmel, right, all the way up to the northeastern border with Syria. The IDF simply lacks the manpower to do that. So you have an unfortunate kind of rock in a hard place where the Israelis have to do the job, but this job is almost undoable. And so where the Israelis seem to be settling is somewhere in the middle on, you know, I won't call it just mowing the lawn because it's much more intense than that, severe degradation of Hezbollah's capabilities, killing mid-level commanders and so on and so forth. We haven't seen senior commanders or senior officials killed this round yet. And today, it seems like the Israelis are moving to create a buffer zone, reestablishing the security zone in South Lebanon, which to me is an implicit admission, right? If you have to create a buffer zone indefinitely, you're implicitly admitting that Hezbollah is not going to be removed permanently. Right? You're implicitly admitting Hezbollah is always going to be a problem, and we need to have a permanent force presence in Lebanon to make sure that they're just not on the border.
Bill, you have a question for David.
David, Based on what you've said, it seems to me that the only way to ensure that Hezbollah's demise, which should be the goal of the Israelis, right, is to end the Iranian regime. And yet, it doesn't seem that either the U.S. or the Israelis are prepared to do what needs to be done to end that regime. Recently, you had a senior security official in Israel said, I'm going to quote, read a direct quote here. This week, we will act with significant force and carry out strikes that will have a major impact on the continuation of the campaign. He's referring to Israel. We hope this will bring Iranian citizens out into the streets, end quote. Is this, has the U.S. and the Israelis failed here in their efforts to overthrow this regime? This is the only way, would you agree, to ensure that Hezbollah is no longer a threat, that the Iranians are no longer a threat?
So, I think two things here. First, no. I think the demise of the Iranian regime would significantly weaken Hezbollah, but Iran has created proxies like Hezbollah along a self-sustaining model. So Hezbollah would outlast the Iranian regime because it has its own weapons production facilities. Again, would it, they're not on the level of what Iran can supply them, but they're enough to create havoc. Right, they can create drones. They can create short-range missiles. They have their own fundraising channels. Right, they have support within Lebanon that makes them a self-perpetuating organization. So it would be a different Hezbollah. It would be a severely weakened Hezbollah, but a Hezbollah would still exist. And I think the Israelis are starting to recognize this. There's a report in Financial Times the other day that said the Israelis are looking at the campaign in Lebanon as almost separate from the one in Iran. Not that they don't impact each other, obviously. But that, again, as I'm saying, the downfall of the Iranian regime does not necessarily bring about Hezbollah's demise, and that's going to take a very different kind of combination of factors. Now, look, when it comes to bringing down the Iranian regime, you know, I'm too hard-nosed to say that military planning, military strategy should be based a significant end goal of an operation could hang on hope, right? Expectations, right? Things like this, you know, look, there's an element of uncertainty in every military campaign, no matter the odds going in, you know, no campaign is certainly going to result in a victory. But you try to minimize, as a military planner, the uncertainty factors, right? You don't put a critical part of your strategy and place that in the hands of a factor that may or may not occur. So if indeed regime change is the goal of this campaign, either on the Israeli side or the American side or both, then I think it's a mistake to say, well, we're going to bet on this factor, the Iranians coming out into the streets and tearing down the remnants of the regime, as kind of the finishing blow. You need to have your own cards, you know, in case that doesn't happen. And if you don't have a plan B in that case, then you've done poor military planning, if you ask me.
The Times of Israel uses the amount 3 weeks to say the IDF needs 3 weeks to secure positions south Lebanon below the Litani River. To do what, David? I understand 3 weeks. I understand IDF. But are they going to plant there? Does that discourage Hezbollah's adventures?
Well, I think, again, what we see, there were statements by Defense Minister Katz going back, I think, to the first or second day of the war, an interview with Channel 13, and subsequent statements since then by the defense minister, by the IDF chief of staff, of the intention of Israel to essentially reestablish the security zone. So my sense is I don't see Israel permanently holding the territory all the way up to the Litani. I can see an incursion up to the Litani River, a purification of the area, if you will, a neutralization of Hezbollah's presence and arsenal weapons manufacturing facilities. Basically, everything the LAF, right, phase one of the so-called disarmament plan that was supposed to be completed by December 31st, 2025, which the LAF claimed it had completed by January 8th, right, was that they cleared all this stuff from the South Litani area. That Hezbollah's ability to wage war or to have weapons in that area was gone. And that obviously proved to be false. So basically, the Israelis are going to finish phase one. And I can see a gradual phased withdrawal after that, not to the blue line, but to a security zone, again, that is deeper into Lebanon than the five strategic points that the IDF currently controls. And what the IDF does then, look, the IDF did control a security zone between 1985 and 2000. It was a massive disaster, not because it was a security zone per se, but because of the lack of will by the Israeli public, right? The 82 Lebanon war was unpopular. So going into the security zone era, the Israeli public was not willing to sanction the aggressiveness necessary by the IDF to make that security zone a success. Right, the IDF instead relied on static defense, fixed positions that became sitting ducks for Hezbollah attacks, and reliance on local actors who were, if you ask me, incompetent and criminal, right? The SLA. And where I think the IDF, if they've learned their lessons, right, like we've seen they've learned their lessons from 2006 when it came to Lebanon. So if they've learned the lessons of 1985 to 2000, if they establish the security zone, it'll be something that is based on a much more aggressive posture of targeting Hezbollah, much more mobile defense, not giving Hezbollah fixed targets to attack, and hopefully not relying on local actors who, again, proved not just dishonorable in their conduct, to say the least, but also incompetent, right? The IDF ended up deploying along lines at times that were meant to protect the SLA, right, rather than secure the northern Israel. And this is that's something that, again, all these factors made the last security zone a mistake. We'll see if Israel has learned its lesson moving forward.
Bill, you have a quick question.
Yeah, quick question, David. You really brought, you know, bringing back the SLA, the previous occupation. What would it much of the population south of the Litani is hostile to the Israelis and pro-Hezbollah. Mm-hmm. Are they going to be evacuated from the area? Don't they pose a significant threat to Israeli forces no matter how they're deployed in southern Lebanon?
So they do. And there was a statement, today by the defense minister, Katz, who said hundreds of thousands of Shiite residents in southern Lebanon have been evacuated from their homes, will not return to their homes south of the Litani until the safety of the residents of the north of Israel is guaranteed. So what does that mean? That's a very indefinite statement. And where will they be allowed to, right? I mean, when the Israelis did control the security zone, there were Lebanese who lived under their control, Shiites, Christians, right, Sunnis, and, you know, some of them collaborated with Hezbollah, others didn't. Others, you know, a lot of Shiites were actually members of the SLA. They were the foot soldiers of the SLA, whereas the commanders were Maronites, Christians generally, but also Maronites. So it's unclear what the Israelis are going to, you know, to allow with this. It's also, look, you know, I wonder how much leeway the Israelis feel that they have with this, because if you're going to deepen, you know, say 10 kilometers, a 10-kilometer security zone to South Lebanon, for example, I'm just throwing out a number, and you keep that depopulated, well, you've forcibly depopulated the territory of a neighboring state, and that has, you know, political consequences and repercussions on the international stage. We'll see if the Israelis are willing, if they feel that, you know, this price is worth paying. Again, remains to be seen. What we know from how the Israelis have conducted themselves over the past 15 months with the kind of the string of border villages in the south is that they have not entirely depopulated it, but effectively been policing this area to where normal life has been halted because, as you noted, not just the population is hostile to Hezbollah, some of the population are actual Hezbollah fighters. A lot of the people that get killed, you know, Hezbollah operatives that get killed, they end up being locals. So, you know, telling the locals to come back could bring back a significant number of Hezbollah operatives with them. So it remains to be seen how far the Israelis are going to take this and what measures they're going to take. But I imagine something along the lines of what we've seen over the past 15 months in the border areas, but deeper into Lebanon.
We're speaking with David Daoud and Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. I'm John Batchelor.
Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big.